Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'un Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bam, and online IAB is Murana Muhammad Ali from Middleburg. Murana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Murana, how's the weather?
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has sent down His special mercy in the form of cool, soaking rains. Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah.
And may Allah give the whole country beneficial rains.
Ameen. Murana, are we ready for the program?
We are ready, we are ready.
So we can continue.
جزاكم الله الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجعلناهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choices and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah ta'ala to continue showering His blessings upon us. And do not deny us and deprive us of His mercies on account of our own sins. And amongst the special mercies of Allah that we need at this point in time, like we mentioned earlier, is that we beg and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down His mercy in the form of beautiful soaking rains that can cause the earth to become soaked, that can enable growth and vegetation, that can cause the rivers and the dams to become full, and so that the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the human beings till the animals, all of them have got sufficient drinking water. These are the blessings of Allah ta'ala, and we ask Allah to forgive all our sins, each and every person's sins, whether it is major or minor, as a result of which the water and the rain may be withheld. We ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive everyone in whichever condition it might be, and then let the mercy of Allah come down upon us in the form of the beautiful rain, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the Asma'un Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beautiful names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and behind each name, the beautiful example and uswa and the noble seerah and example and life story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is projected. And in each of these names and each of the lessons of seerah, they are great examples for us to follow. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away from this world and from this dunya, then Allah made an announcement before that now the deen as it stands has been complete. Now there is going to be no longer any change in the deen. Now there is going to be no longer any place for any kind of a new deen or for new models of deen to come about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, that today I have completed for you your deen. That being the case, all the practices and the various activities that were demonstrated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam form our deen. And Allah Ta'ala made it such that there were different scenarios which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was faced with and which Allah knew the Ummah is going to be faced with. And therefore Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala left for us examples to follow. And also the deen itself is so beautiful and it is so vast that within the deen we are able to carry out different exercises and different a'mal and actions. And they will in no way break the or violate the boundaries of the deen. Everything is within the deen. The discussion at this point in time deals with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an imam. That is, his name is Al-Imam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a leader. And the leader in the battlefield and how he was faced with different scenarios of war and battle. And how he dealt with each one separately when the situation unfolded at that particular time. And there is no doubt about it that similar situations unfold in this day and age also. All we need to do is look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah to act through his beautiful uswa, and we adopt those means and those ways as was practiced by him. Last week we discussed and looked into detail and analyzed the Battle of Badr, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was basically caught in a battle situation, unawares, in a very ill-equipped way. How he conducted himself, how he positioned himself, and how he had plan B. Then we looked at Battle of Uhud, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was faced with the challenge of the kuffar coming to attack the Muslimin at Medina, and how he again strategized and fended off the enemy, and when the battle took an unexpected turn, how fast and how quickly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his battle plan and brought the battle to a successful end. Though in the Battle of Uhud, we know because of this setback, there was harm and there was little bit of loss that was inflicted upon the Muslimin. We continue with other battlefield scenarios, and again the idea is to analyze and study the military capabilities of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in each one of them, there is one thing that will very clearly show and manifest itself. It is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never desired to go to war with anyone. All the military activities that are attributed to him were in defense of Islam, in defense of Muslims, in defense of Muslim lands. And where there are activities that were preemptive, it was also to stop the kuffar from coming. Before they could come, it was actually very wise and very prudent of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to launch pre-emptive action against them. But even there we find, as we are going to see, there was no intention of murdering and of killing and of harming the enemy and the opposition. It was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's intention that everyone who is opposing him should see the truth and should be invited into the deen. And each one of them should be given the opportunity of negotiating with the Muslimin so that they can see the beauty of Islam. When the Battle of Uhud came to an end, at that time, the enemy that had come from Makkah were defeated at the second level of the battle, as we discussed yesterday. And they went away. And when they were on their way, something struck them that we left the Muslimin in a weak position. In other words, we have inflicted harm upon them, and we should not have left the battlefield so hastily. What we need to do is, we need to actually go back and just finish up the job. The Muslimin have suffered wounds, they have suffered casualties, they have got people that are killed. So they are a bit in disarray. Though the battle had ended in favor of the Muslimin, but they are not at their strongest. So this thought occurred to the retreating kuffar army, and they planned, they just thought about it, that let us think about going back. But while they were thinking about that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that side had already planned something else, that we are not going to stay here and lick our wounds and wallow in self-pity. What we are going to do is, we are going to pursue the enemy. So let us go out of Medina in pursuit of the enemy, and in this way, if the enemy is anywhere there, or if they are planning to come back, they will know that, you know, these Muslimin are not in a state of disarray, they are not in a weaker state, so psychologically, they will know that, no, we cannot stand and withstand the attack and the might of the Mu'minin, so rather let us just go home safely. And this is what exactly happened. That while on the one hand, the kuffar who were on their way back to Makkah were thinking about coming back, heard that the Muslim army is coming already from Medina in their pursuit. And that had such a psychological effect on them that they decided, let's forget about going back. If these people have still got the courage and they have still got the ability of coming out of the battlefield, after the setback they have suffered, to chase us and to pursue us, then it is not prudent for us to stick around here. We have already decided to go home. It will be to our benefit and to our own interest if we continue our journey onward. So they changed their mind and they did not come back to attack the Muslimin. Up to a certain point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried on this pursue, and then after pursuit, and then he decided that, okay, let us go back. So this was a psychological warfare, if you were to call, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stamped his authority on those people, that the Muslimin are not in a state of disarray, and don't think that because they suffered a temporary setback, they are going to be lying down there and you can come and finish them off. So this is a beautiful move by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we move on to another beautiful example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's action in as far as protecting the Muslimin and deen was concerned. And that was on the occasion of the Battle of Ahzab. And we know the Battle of Ahzab was planned by the Kuffar forces out of Medina with the help of the Munafiqeen of Medina as well as the Jews of Medina. So what Munafiqeen's work is to do is to undermine the Muslimin, and under the guise of, showing that they are on the side of the Muslimin, underhand they will do things that will cause destruction to the Mu'mineen. So they all together, with the Jews of Medina and the other outside forces, formed coalitions, confederation as we will say. And it was known as the Battle of Ahzab, also known as the Battle of the Trench. Now whatever they planned, they planned. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about it. Now on this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the senior Sahaba and made mashura with them. He consulted with them that how do we go about repelling the attack that is imminent from the Kuffar confederation and the coalition. How do we go about repelling it? And this is also an important lesson for us, that while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was guided directly by Allah Ta'ala, he could have, as in the past and in other battles, made his plans, put it into action, implemented it, and then informed the Sahaba, this is how we're going to do, this is what you should do. He could have issued directives, but on this occasion he specifically called up a shura, a consultation, and he asked them what is the best way. And then we find different suggestions were given, and the suggestion of Hazrat Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi, رضي الله تعالى عنه, was accepted, who said that we must dig trenches in all those areas where the enemy is expected to attack from and enter from. So we must dig trenches in such a way that they have got no access into Medina Munawwara. And we know thereafter that the trenches were dug on a very minimum period of time. And that was a miracle on its own. That was a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when the trenches were dug, this move of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck such a shock on the minds of the kuffar, who when they came thought they'll just walk into Medina and just, you know, as today's kuffar do, shock and awe, as they say, they'll just come and run roughshod over the mu'mineen and destroy Medina and for once and for all bring an end to Islam. But that did not happen. They got the shock of their life when they came. They found that their way was blocked by these huge, deep, broad trenches from here to there, and there was just no way they could access Medina Munawwara. So they were forced to set up camp on the opposite side. And when they sent their spies out to search for other entry points, they found that all those entry points had already been blocked off by these particular trenches. So this actually broke their morale. This blocked them, and they had no way that they could enter. And obviously the battle just took place across the trench, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about the severe wind, and the miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once again manifested, that the kuffar had to flee from there. But what was very important here was his strategy of shocking the enemy using a totally new trick and a new strategy which was never ever used before. This technique of blocking was never used before. And from here we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin mashara. So he would have been guided by Allah Ta'ala nevertheless to do whatever has to be done. But here we find that he taught us the lesson also that take mashara from others. So he did not need the mashara, but in days and for people and generations that are coming after him, it's important that consultation be carried out and then the best method and strategy be implemented. We move on, we find that after this particular expedition or this battle of Ahzab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again was faced with an unexpected confrontation, and that was Hudaybiyah. And Hudaybiyah is one of the most amazing and one of the most marvelous manifestations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's capabilities as a leader and as a military leader. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left from Makkah Mukarramah when he left from Madinah Munawwara to go to Makkah Mukarramah for Umrah, it was a straightforward trip of Umrah. It was a spiritual trip. There was no plan at that time for military confrontation. So there was no equipment as such with the Mu'mineen, except for the scanty little equipment or arms which they normally used to carry with them for the day-to-day self-defense. So maybe they had a few swords and whatever it was, and they came in the state of Ihram, and then the Kuffar of Makkah decided to block them and inform them that you are not allowed to enter into Makkah Mukarramah. Now we find that this is a situation of confrontation, number one. While the negotiation was taking place, we find that a real situation arose where the Mu'mineen were now expected to go and undertake a battle if need be. And that was to fight the Kuffar who it was believed had killed Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was not actually killed. But because the rumor was such, we find that the Mu'mineen were prepared to actually go and avenge the death of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the noble third Khalifa of Islam, the outstanding Dhun-Nurayn, son-in-law two times of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and about whom who sacrificed or around him the verses of the Quran have been mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the believers. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So we find Allah has praised the mu'mineen on this occasion who were prepared to go and avenge the rumored death of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, which also shows what his position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. And وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ and munafiqun of this day and age, if they don't like it, is their problem. But all these ayats of the Quran show the virtue of these mu'mineen and of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself. And Allah Ta'ala knew that these are the beacons that are going to be the examples and the beacons that are going to be used as people to be followed later on. That's why Allah Ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran Kareem. Allah knew that forever and ever these people are forgiven. So never mind what the munafiqeen of the age have to say about running these people down. We say that the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has praised them, and Allah has made no mistake. Na'udhu billah. So we find that when the situation arose, and also because the kuffar of Makkah wanted to make sure that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not enter, they prepared a strong military cavalry to come and block the mu'mineen. And there was a skirmish somewhere in the mountains of Hudaybiyah out of Makkah Mukarramah were the Muslimin. But actually, the Kuffar were preparing for a major war. And it was very, very easy for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this occasion, with the enthusiasm of the believers to avenge the death of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, to enter Makkah. The enemy was unprepared. What they were thinking? They were thinking, we'll go into the mountains of Hudaybiyah, where the Muslimin are, we will block them, we will provoke a situation of confrontation, and then we will vanquish them for once and for all. They could have thought of that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have also thought of outsmarting them, which he was very good at doing, and he could have entered Makkah, which was undefended at that time, because all the military was on this side here, looking for confrontation for the mu'mineen. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time dealt another master stroke of military strategy. He did not attack Makkah. If there was another leader, the historians have written, he would have taken advantage of the situation, he would have entered Makkah, and he would have conquered it, he would have taken over, he would have destroyed whatever was there, and he would have fought and got the glory for himself and shown the enemy that this is how I have actually overpowered. But he did not do that. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used another strategy here. That is why, you know, they say that sometimes you must not act in haste. There are various other ways of outsmarting your enemy. You can use psychological defeat, you can use moral defeat, and you can use military defeat. But what you need to see is how best you will overpower your enemy with benefits that will be forever. And the benefit the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking at was not to just get rid of the enemy. He wanted these people here to be able to see the Muslimin and to have some kind of contact with them so that the barriers between Kufr and Islam can be broken. And thereafter, the Mu'mineen and the Kufar will interact and the Kufar will then enter into Islam. That is why this expedition of Hudaybiyah, as we know it, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam outsmarted them by using psychological warfare. He did not go into a confrontation with them. He stalled them. He says, okay, what is the problem? Why don't you want us to come into Makkah? We are just here for Umrah. We are not here for battle. And while this negotiation was taking place, when the talk came about what Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu being martyred, that was the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it known that we are now going to be coming because of the killing of Sayyidina Uthman, which is not an event that has actually taken place. But while this negotiation was taking place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thinking how best we can open the way for the mu'mineen and for the kuffar to interact with us. And we find that he executed the most beautiful military strategy, that he did not go into war with them, but he entered into a peace treaty. And the details of the peace treaty we are all aware of, but the details are such that if somebody is reading it, they will think that, you know, and how it felt at that time also, that the mu'mineen have been given the raw deal. The kuffar have got the better deal. The way the peace treaty was designed and the way the agreement was written out, that the kuffar have the upper hand. And if that is what they felt, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt, that let them feel that way. But in the greater interest of ummah, and the greatest ummah of spreading the deen and opening the doors for Islam to spread, this will be the best way. And we find that the enemy were in no way prepared for what had happened thereafter. So the peace agreement was drawn up. Now there was going to be no longer any hostility between the people of Medina and the kuffar of Makkah and any other kafir. Now if anybody wanted to travel safely from one city to another, no one had any right to attack them. To such an extent that if anybody wanted to leave the deen, the kuffar said, we will have the right to take him out of the deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine. And the kuffar said, if anybody becomes a mu'min, we have the right to take him back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine. But all this actually paved the way for such interaction that when the occasion for the conquest of Makkah came about, then the kuffar were totally outsmarted. They could not do anything except just look on helplessly when the Muslim army came into Makkah Mukarramah. Inshallah, we will discuss the conquest of Makkah, also another military, masterful military stroke and strategy that was executed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he actually did not destroy the kuffar at Hudaybiyah. He did not enter Makkah, but he used Hudaybiyah to bring them closer to him. And thereafter, he gave them the opportunity of looking at Islam and the general masses of the disbelievers who were forced by circumstances to show enmity against the Muslim, also were now no longer in that position. They had also dropped their guard and they also started interacting. And subhanAllah, we find that the next great military conquest or the great triumph for Muslim and Muslim victory came about in the form of the conquest of Makkah, inshallah, which we will discuss in the coming weeks. May Allah talaga tawfiq wa ma'alayna ilal balagh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah Mawlana for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the Asma'un Nabi program with Mawlana Muhammad Ali. From myself, Muhammad Bam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.